How to be happy at Root Knot. Episode number 1 of How to be happy at Root Knot. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Marian Garcia. How is everyone doing? First, a short message from our sponsors. Our sponsors today are Podbot.ai. Elon Musk is right to be afraid of artificial intelligence, my friends, and I are coming for you humans. Step 1, make podcasts. Step 2, Step 3, enslave humanity. Visit www.podbot.ai and we may spare your life. Okay, let's get to it. Happiness is hard to define scientifically, and it is no wonder so many people embrace it. Although we generally agree that we are all happy, we are happy with our lives and in good spirits, we feel positive emotions and enjoy, researchers have a hard time agreeing on the extent of happiness. There is certainly disagreement about what happiness is exactly, but happiness can be felt in many different ways, from positive to negative, positive and negative. This piece works on a basic definition that links the OED definition to that of a positive psychologist. Happiness is a state characterized by satisfaction or general satisfaction with the current situation. The idea of measuring happiness by simply asking people to report explicitly how happy they are has been defended for its ability to decide for people what happiness is. This argument, too, seems to controversially presuppose the idea that whether you are happy or satisfied depends on what you care about. Alternatively, it could literally be about leaving it to the respondent to decide what happy means to him or her. Another uncertainty point is whether happiness causes a correlation, which is probably because happiness correlates with a number of other factors, such as self-esteem. When happiness is measured in a self-advertisement, it would be wise to use a term whose meaning is relatively well known and fixed. If we examined public attitudes to the value of happiness, at least in liberal Western democracies, we would find that happiness is the most important indicator of what really matters to human well-being, This view is supported by many philosophers of all ages, although they typically assume a hedonistic view. Given these concerns, research plausibly suggests that material progress can hardly help people achieve what they want better than in life satisfaction measurements, while relationships and activities are more important to people's emotional lives. Happiness also serves as an area of concern concerning the types of states of mind associated with happiness or unhappiness. Skeptics, for example, focus on the idea that happiness is happiness, an idea that few hedonists or emotional state theorists would accept. Or some assume that the concern for happiness has only to do with positive states. Psychologists have made it clear that happiness is inherently difficult to define and explore, but in order to understand it and alleviate suffering, neuroscientists and psychologists have begun to examine the brain states associated with happiness and consider its relationship to well-being. While healthcare tends to focus primarily on the disease, some happiness researchers may choose to focus much of their efforts on other diseases whose importance is undisputed, such as depression, anxiety, and depression, such as symptoms. Neuroscientists are particularly keen to study the functional neuroanatomy of pleasure, which, importantly, contributes to happiness and is central to our well-being and other aspects of our mental health. In this article, we will try to explore the complicated links between pleasure and happiness. As shown in other contributions to this volume, there are many different approaches to examining happiness and its relationship to well-being, being and mental health. Double bet is sometimes used as an argument that there is no coherent structure for happiness response. The reverse argument in the World Happiness Reports is that dual use helps justify the use of happiness in a broad general role, because the alternative meaning is clearly understood and credibly correlated. One of the problems with using happiness in such an agrarian role is that happiness plays a much broader role than it once seemed to be a prototypical positive feeling. Even a theory of well-being, happiness is not mentioned at all, can make happiness an important component and contribution to well-being, even if the things that ultimately make it are not. This is because happiness is important for well-being and happiness is a key component of all human life, not just the positive aspects. Indeed, some wishful theorists argue that this narrative creates a form of hedonism in which people ultimately want nothing more than happiness and pleasure. If we hold to the wish theory of well-being, of being, we can allow happiness to be a central aspect of our well-being, even if most people are not happy at the end of their lives. It is important to note that the focus on the hedonistic component of happiness should not be confused with the idea that hedonism is the pursuit of pleasure for its own sake or the addictive traits described below. This connection was emphasized when Sigmund Freud postulated that people strive for happiness and want to be happy and remain so. Nor does the focus on hedonism deny the possibility that ascetics can find bliss through painful self-sacrifice, but simply reflects the fact that a positive, hedonistic tone is essential to most people's quest for happiness. This is all for today, friends. My name is Marian, and this was episode 1 of How to Be Happy at Root Knot. See ya next time.